As we mentioned, this is our eighth message in the series on growth. We started message number one, growing in grace. And we got into Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where it tells us that we're predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. And to grow in grace is to become more like Christ. You know, if every Christian would take that challenge to be more like Christ, we would be the better for it. Amen? Because you cannot, like they said, like Pilate said when he looked at him and he looked at those Jews that wanted him crucified, he said, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Hey, if there's no fault in him, if we would do well to pattern our lives just like Jesus. Amen. Number two, we not only had growing in grace, but our second week, we looked at some indicators of infancy. And we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul was reproving these Corinthians that he had won to the Lord. He had started that church, and he had said to them, I want to feed you with meat, but you're not able, so I have to give you milk. And he said, are ye not carnal? And we looked at some indicators of infancy in our lives. And I think a lot of churches are plagued with people that should be growing, but they still got the pacifier in their mouth. Amen? I'm not talking about babies in the nursery. That's a blessing. I'm talking about babies in the pews. Indicators of infancy. And then we looked at some guidelines for growth. Some guidelines for growth and how it's so important if we're going to grow, we're going to have to forsake some things. Folks, you cannot grow to be more like Jesus without forsaking things that offend Jesus. You just can't do it. This modern Christianity says you can have your cake and eat it too. You can't do it according to that book. Amen? You're not only forsaking, but you're going to have to be feeding. You're going to have to be feasting on this book. You're going to have to want to get into it every day. Boy, I'll tell you, this week I got stirred up. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I was looking at this little nice journal that they gave me when Grace Baptist College was here. They gave me a nice journal. And Brother Max, there's a 30-day Bible challenge in there. Read your Bible through in 30 days. And I thought to myself, just what you just did, gulp, can it be done? Amen. And the first day, Genesis 1 through 39. And I thought, man, if you break that up into three spots, that's not that bad. That's about 15 chapters, amen. Less than that, amen. What's 40 divided by 3, amen. 12, 13, tomorrow I got thinking about this. I may do it, amen. Feasting on God's Word. But then not only forsaking and feasting, we talked about following Jesus, following in His steps, amen, as 1 Peter 2:21 says. So, guidelines for growth. Then we looked at some marks of maturity and some areas in Ephesians chapter 4 that we ought to be showing our maturity. And then we had two messages, our fifth and sixth messages, were negatives of growth, which is when God says, don't do this. And if you're going to grow, there are going to be some things that we're just not going to be able to do. Amen. And then we looked at some positives for growth. Things that God wants us to do. Last week, we looked at walking in growth. And how God wants us to walk. And just by way of review, if you look back just a page in your Bible, we notice first of all that God wants us to walk lovingly according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Look at it there. It says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And what is he talking about there? Amen. He's talking about the basis for us walking lovingly is because of Christ's love for us. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. And walking lovingly is proof of our discipleship. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. One for another. Amen. Loving one another. Not pointing out the faults. By the way, can I just say this? We all know our own faults. We don't need anybody else pointing them out. Amen? Boy, it'd sure be a lot better if we just get back to that marks of maturity and just be building people. Amen? It's proof of our discipleship. It's proof of our citizenship. This we know, that we pass from death unto life, 1 John 3:14, because we love the brethren. Amen? And that's proof of our citizenship in heaven. It's also proof of our relationship with God, that we know Him because we love the brethren. And listen, when we're walking lovingly, it manifests itself in concern for others. It manifests itself in kindness in our speech and actions toward others. Amen? Amen. Say amen, church. It manifests itself, if we're truly walking lovingly, it manifests itself in compassion for people, and it manifests itself in a desire to be like Christ, a desire to read His Word. And so God tells us to walk lovingly, but He also tells us, if you look down in verse number 8 of chapter 5, He tells us to walk enlightenedly, enlightenedly. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When you study light and darkness in the Bible, they're a great picture of good and evil, of God and Satan. Amen. And listen, we ought to walk in the light. You know, when you walk in the light, you don't have anything to hide. Amen. You don't have any closets. And as we said last week, you know what light does? Light scatters the bugs. And listen, that's why you ought to let the light of the Word of God shine in your life, because it'll scatter the bugs out of your life. Amen. Scatter those spiritual areas that need to be scattered. Amen. Oh, it's walk enlightenedly, walk lovingly. And then walk, verse 15, if you would look down there, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." That word means carefully, cautiously, alertly. It means to stop, look, and listen, to look, to consider, to take heed. Spiritually speaking, when we walk circumspectly, we walk with our spiritual eyes opened. I've said for many, many years that when I first got saved and I started trying to obey God, I started trying to read His Word and wasn't perfect and had many stumbles along the way. But when I started trying to do that, God took the spiritual blinders off. And you got to see the world for what it is. People are saved or they're lost. And God help us to have that vision. Amen. God help us to have that circumspect walk where we see the needs of others and we see the shortness of time and we see the seriousness of eternity. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6 here, I want to just say, if you're growing in making decisions for Christ and reading His Word and separating from evil and trying to walk with Him, you have to know this, folks. You have an enemy who doesn't like it. Who doesn't want you to grow, and as a matter of fact, has a comprehensive plan to hinder your growth. And his name is Satan. Your adversary and growth. Now let's look, number one, if we could tonight. Number one tonight, about our adversary's reality. The adversary's reality. Look at verses 11 through 13 with me tonight. 11 through 13, and never get mad at when we have a baby in here. That's okay if they cry or moan a little bit, amen. It's when the adults do it that I get a little bit upset, amen, in the service like that. Never mind that, amen. That's fine. Praise the Lord. The adversary's reality, number one, verses 11 through 13, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I'll never forget. My wife remembers this. We went to a youth conference one time, and they used to have young preacher boys preach. And there was this young man from Boyne City, and he was one of those little boys that was just as wide as he was tall. Amen. Just a little four by four kid. And he got up there and preached. He said, "I want to preach today on standing against the willies of the devil." He said, "Amen." Standing against the willies of the devil. Amen. It gives me the willies just thinking about it. Amen. It says there that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then what does it say in verse 12? "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." I'll tell you, sometimes it seemed like a more fair fight if we wrestled against flesh and blood. Amen. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I want you to notice the adversary's reality. Number one, the enemy. The enemy must be pretty powerful and pretty formidable to demand that we need the power of the Lord and His might and the whole armor of God. The enemy. He is powerful. He is formidable. Amen. I want you to notice, secondly, about the adversary's reality. Not only the enemy, but the existence. We find his existence in the Word. Amen. We find his existence in the Word. He's the subtle serpent of Genesis chapter 3, is he not? Amen. He's the dirty bird of Matthew chapter 13 that comes and grabs all the seed when it's sown. He's the wicked farmer in Matthew chapter 13 that sows tares right next to the good seed. He's that ravening wolf in John chapter 10, verse 12, not sparing the flock. You know what else he is? He's an angel of light in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. He disguises himself as an angel of light. You know what else he is? According to 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a roaring lion. You know what else he is? In Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, he's a merciless dragon ready to eat up Israel. Amen. Ready to eat up that man-child that would come. Oh, the enemy, the existence. But we notice something else. Look at verse number 12. Notice the emissaries. The emissaries. His wicked comrades. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's not only just the devil, Satan himself, but there are many devils. I believe, you can believe whatever you want, I believe they are the fallen angels that fell with Satan's rebellion. I believe that they were cast out, became the devils that we know. One third of heaven's angels. The Bible says that the number of angels is innumerable to man. God knows how many there are. But we know one third of them rebelled, and they helped Satan in his evil plots. The emissaries. The existence. The enemy. The adversary's reality. I want you to notice number two tonight. The associates revealed. The associates revealed. Look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren. I want you to notice the battle underneath the associates revealed. The battle. Verse 11 and 12, we've read it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we didn't know it, but when we got saved, we got drafted into God's army. And we have been in a battle ever since the day that we got saved. By the way, wasn't it a battle when the Holy Spirit was wooing you to be saved? It was for me. Maybe for you it's real easy, amen. There was a battle going on. You could just see these evil angels and good angels, one on each side, and battling each other, amen. But we all got enlisted in the battle. We're drafted in God's army. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. I like what Roger Campbell said. He said, "Let us be sure that we fight the foe and not each other." Amen. Galatians chapter 5 says, "Take heed that ye bite and devour not one another. For if you bite and devour one another, you be consumed one of another." Oh, listen, we're not each other's enemies. Satan's the enemy, amen. And we need to be fighting against him. Notice the battle. But I want you to notice something else. Not only the battle, but the brothers. The brothers. verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren." You know the good news is, though we're in a spiritual battle, we're not alone. We're not alone. We're not alone. We fight together. Just like I think of those brave men and women that will storm the beaches, amen. We fight. We help each other along. I want you to go, if you would, go to 1 Kings chapter number 19. I want to show you something from the Word that I hope will bless you in this. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel like nobody cares. Sometimes we feel like nobody in the church likes me. And by the way, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Amen. Our feelings are always all over the map. I want you to look at what the Word says here, because here's a man of God that felt the exact same way. 1 Kings chapter 19, look at verse number 14. Wrote down the wrong reference there. 1 Kings 19:14. It says, "And he said," here's Elijah speaking. We know what's just happened. He's had this incredible victory in Mount Carmel, and then he's ran tail from Jezebel. He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts." And by the way, I believe that. I read about Elijah. I think he was jealous for the Lord of hosts. He was willing to slay the false prophets in the Old Testament. A man's man, amen, a man of God. Then it says, "Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said, Go, return thy way into the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which hath not kissed him." Listen, folks, we can get this Elijah syndrome. I'm the only one standing for God. I'm the only one. Listen, we're in this together. Part of the reason why God wants us to gather together as oft as we will is so that we will know we need each other. We need each other. We've got to have each other, amen? And that's why God gave us the illustration in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are a body. What good's a body without the neck? Amen? What good's a body without the head? What good's a body without the... Listen, we're all part of the body together, amen? And we need each other. He said, "Finally, my brethren," you're not alone in this battle. The associates are revealed. One of the reasons why God instituted the church was so that when you're going through temptation and discouragement and how Satan would love to get you away from God's people so he can devour you, oh, when you're around God's people, they'll help you. They'll encourage you in your faith. Amen. The associates revealed. The adversary's reality. I want you to notice, thirdly tonight, the available resources in growing against your adversary. The available resources. Verse number 10, back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might." The first available resource is the power of God. The power of God is an available resource in your life to fight against the devil and grow. See, 1 John 4:4 tells us, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Hey, he may be the prince of this world. He may be the god of this world. He may be the prince and the power of the air. But our God is still stronger than he is. The power of God is an available resource. You remember the story Boy, it's hard to believe now. It's been 2 years since we studied Jude. Amen. Boy, time's just moving along. When we studied Jude and we came to that famous ninth verse, when God performed the funeral of Moses, nobody knows where. And by the way, that's a good thing. You don't think they dig up Moses and make an idol out of him? You're fooling yourself. Amen. Of course they would. Moses was buried somewhere by God, and Satan and Michael attended that funeral. And there was a battle that took place. And you know what? I believe, according to the Bible, Michael is the only one called an archangel. I believe Michael could probably whip Satan. But you know, he gave us a great pattern. He didn't try to whip him in his own strength. Brother Becker, he said, "The Lord rebuked thee." And that's what we need to say to Satan. You try to fight Satan in your own strength, you are going to lose every time. But you fight him in the power of the Lord, the strength of God and the power of His might, and you'll win. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 teaches us pulling down the strongholds and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. We've got the power of God. It's our first available resource. Our second available resource, found in verse 14 through 17, is the armor of God. And listen, we certainly don't have enough time. I would love to give each one of these pieces of the armor the proper time and perhaps maybe another series. But you look and you see, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, down verse 17, the helmet of salvation, oh, the armor of God. And every day that God would help us to put on that armor, the fight against our adversary, that we could grow. Thirdly, not only the power of God, not only the armor of God, but our third available resource is in verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is our third available resource. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ladies and gentlemen, there is only one way to transform your mind. Only one way to renew your mind. Get your nose in this book. And all God's people said, I love. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This verse has been with me a good portion of this year. The Lord showed this verse to me, and it has blessed me over and over and over this year. It's been like a stream, going to the fridge and having a cool glass of water so many times this year. Look at verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. "For without ceasing, for this cause, thank we God without ceasing, because," now think about this, folks, "when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us." So they heard, just like you're hearing tonight. They heard Paul, and he delivered unto them the word of God. He preached. It says, "Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Listen, when you get in this book, and you take it, and you listen to preaching, and listen, I'm all for stories. I enjoy illustrations. I enjoy preachers that do that. I really do. I think they open doors to our hearts and stuff. But I really, really, really believe by conviction, the more scripture you give, the more opportunity you give to people to say, "That's what God said. I'm going to believe it." And the Bible says right there that when you do that, when you take it as the very word of God, it effectually works in you. That means it keeps working. It's doing a work in your life that you can't even begin to comprehend. It's a transforming work that God, and God uses. Listen, this is an available resource to us. I remember when Brother Sammons was doing his series on the King James Bible, and he had that picture of the Bible up with the big layer of dust on it, and it said, "Read me." May it never be said of one member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, we would read our Bibles every day. And all God's people said, every day. Because it's an available resource. It's the offensive weapon in the armor listed here. Amen. It's the sword. Amen. Sword's good for defense and for offense. Amen. The Word of God, the armor of God, the power of God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, make time for, meditate upon, memorize, and mind what the Word of God says. Amen. Verse number 17, or verse 18, we see something else. Verse number 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. What's the fourth resource we have? The requests of God. The requests of God. It says, praying always. The request. Jeremiah 33:3 still says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's prayer, ladies and gentlemen. That's prayer. And that is an available resource to us. Amen. To pray. To ask God for things. James 4:2 still says, ye have not because ye ask not. Oh, that we would beseech the throne. I remember when Dr. Curtis Hudson, one of my favorite preachers when I first got saved, I used to listen to his sermons over and over and over again. He got prostate cancer and he was dying. And he was going through all kinds of treatments and different things. And he was stopped and he was preaching at a church in the Chicago area. And he said this, he said, you know, I'm praying to be healed. He said, I'm praying to be healed. But I don't know if it's God's will to heal me. Been there? How many of us have been there, Amos? Sure. But he said this, I've never forgotten it, Uncle Joe. He said this, if I don't pray, I don't give God a chance. Amen? Hey, it's an available resource to us. It might be God's will to heal. I guess we should probably pray. Amen. It might not. We should pray. Amen. It's an available resource to us, the requests of God. And then the last available resource here in our text is in verse 18 as well. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Capital S. The Spirit of God is an available resource to us. It's an available resource to fight against Satan. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is just as much God as the Father. He's just as much God as our Lord Jesus Christ. And He dwells within us. How awesome is that to have that resource available? The Holy Spirit of God will help us to fight our adversary. You know, you grow a lot in battle. You grow in conflicts. Some of you over the years and the different wars that we've had in our country, you've seen young men go off to war and they came back and they were different. There was something that took place. And I understand many times it's a hardened face from war, things that they've seen. But a lot of times it's growth that has to take place under fire. You know, we're in a battle. But just because we're in a battle doesn't mean God wants us to stop growing. He wants us to continue to grow through the battle as we fight our adversary. The adversary's reality, the associates reveal, the available resources. What are the available resources? The power of God, the armor of God, the Word of God, the requests of God, the Spirit of God. Hey, let's keep growing. Let's keep going for higher ground. Amen. You'll never go wrong going for higher ground. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege to again to meet. Thank you for what you've done in my life through this series of messages on growth. God, help us to continue to grow.